it together and we'll get it undone. Someday when your head is much lighter, someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun. Someday when the world is much brighter.
Ooh, child, things are gonna be easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter.
Okay, and ooh, child, we're going to spy on you just to make sure you're not a terrorist. But that apparently ain't going to happen anymore. At least we hope so, because as we all know, just this past week, U.S. District Judge Anna Diggs Taylor in Detroit became the first judge, hopefully the first of many, to strike down the National Security Agency's program of illegal spying, wiretapping, claiming that it violates the rights to free speech and privacy, as well as the separation of powers enshrined in the Constitution. And in her 43-page opinion, Judge Taylor wrote, quote, that plaintiffs have prevailed and the public interest is clear in this matter. It is the upholding of our Constitution. So I thought this was a great ruling on behalf of Judge Anna Diggs Taylor. And what we'd like to do during this segment is we have a special guest on the line. She's an author of a book called Global Sense, which is the modern update of Common Sense by Tom Paine. And that actually is one of my father's favorite books, Thomas Paine's Common Sense. Actually, I have to make a confession here. I've never read the entire Common Sense, but I will definitely make that effort. That's on my reading list to do. But in any case, Judah Fried has this book, Global Sense, a modern update of Common Sense. So we'd like to discuss this issue with Judah right now. So Judah, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
Good. It's good
to be here.
Good to have you here as well. So tell us, Thomas Paine, quite the revolutionary back then, wasn't he?
Indeed. And even today, he still has revolutionary ideas.
Evolutionary. Evolutionary. Well, hey, I mean, hopefully they're not evolutionary in the strict sense of the word. He's going to have some problems. But tell us a little bit about your book, Global Sense. But first off, frame Thomas Paine and his book, Common Sense, as far as the times, when it was written, the scope of it. From what I understand, Judah, this was one of the most popular selling books of the time.
Yes, it was. Well, give you a little bit of background. When Paine wrote Common Sense, he had been in the United States only for a couple of years. He'd come here on a letter of recommendation from Ben Franklin, who he met in London. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, he'd been struggling very much in his life, had not really made much money. He'd been basically working as a tax collector more than any other occupation. Some people say that he was a corset maker in his father's occupation, but actually he was a stay maker, making ropes to hope to keep ships stay in place. That's a common misconception. But when he came here, he got involved in the revolutionary movement and became editor of a magazine in Philadelphia. And he wrote some of the first articles ever in the United States against slavery, wrote some of the first articles in favor of women's rights, wrote some of the first articles ever in favor of the humane treatment of animals. He was very much centuries, if not decades, ahead of his time.
Sounds like he was the first modern-day journalist.
In some ways.
At least an op-ed kind of guy.
Certainly one of the first enterprise journalists.
Right.
And he wrote Common Sense at the original urging of Dr. Benjamin Rush and others in the Philadelphia community, who wanted someone to be able to take the arguments for independence and put it into a form that the common people could understand. Mm-hmm. And so the little 47-page pamphlet, 16,000 words, came out on January 10th, 1776, right about the same time as the word finally reached the United States from England that King George III had declared the entire all of the American colonies in rebellion. So that was electrifying, and his pamphlet was electrifying. You might call it the perfect storm, because within a few months, the pamphlet sold 125,000 copies at $2 each, which today would be about $10.
Which is huge. And given the population back then, we had such a smaller population. I think even today, Judah, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you got 100,000 books that you sold, you'd be on a New York Times bestseller list.
Oh, definitely. That's the standard. And so there was 2.5 million Americans in the American colonies at that point.
Wow.
And they were very much in doubt whether or not they were going to rebel. The thing that was really in a lot of people's minds was the thought that they were going to reconcile with England, that they were going to, at some point, make nicey-nicey with the king, and all's going to be okay. And the other thing that was going on is that most of the colonies saw themselves as separate countries. And so what he accomplished was he got the Americans to start thinking of themselves as members of one nation, rather than separate colonies. He really got them to think of themselves as members of one nation. Sort of like what the Europeans are doing now as they move towards the European Union. And the other thing that he did was he got them to really look at whether or not they wanted to even go back to the crown. So his pamphlet was divided into four sections. And this also will help us get into the new book, Global Sense. In part one, he talked about the design and purpose of government, and he essentially made the claim that the English Constitution, the way it was set up, had a lot of absurdities and problems that just really forbid any kind of real democracy or any kind of real independence from happening. Then in part two, he talked about the problems with it, primarily being monarchy and hereditary succession. In part three, he basically said, you know, given these problems, there's no way that we can go back. The king has breached our natural rights beyond what anyone can even begin to comprehend, and he went through a pretty good litany even of those. And in part four, he showed how the Americans could reasonably fight and win a revolutionary war for their independence and to establish a democracy that he said would be the glory of the earth. So, bringing it back to what I've done. In part one of Global Sense, which is an update of Common Sense, I'm saying that I go through the design and purpose of government, but I bring it back to the notion of self-rule, or specifically mindful self-rule, as being the foundation for personal democracy, so that we can look at how we've, in government, it's really been over the centuries and perhaps the millennia, a gradual movement towards people learning how to rule themselves without necessarily a government being necessary to control us from our vilest impulses. The more mature and enlightened we become, the less we need some high, lofty authority to save us from our lowest impulses. And then in part two, I talk about how, the rather than monarchy and hereditary succession, the deeper issues are what I'm calling alpha male rule and authority addiction, this chronic competitiveness that we men have, believing that we have to control everything and we fight one another for the right to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the root cause of a lot of problems in the world. In part three, I go through how both this political urging for male dominance and authority addiction gets manifested both in our own psychology and in the world, and where Payne was talking about how we can't reconcile ourselves to the king, I'm saying we can't reconcile ourselves with authority addiction in the world or within ourselves. And finally, in part four, I talk about, in very practical terms, how we can actually do something about the situation on a day-to-day basis with what I like to call practical idealism, by changing the way we live, love, learn, work, play, pray, and vote, and that we can indeed, on an incremental basis, one person at a time, transform the world over the next generation or two.
Yeah, no question about it. Tell me a little bit more about this alpha male concept. I mean, Thomas Paine, one of his famous quotes was, "The world is my country, all mankind are my brethren, and to do good is my religion." That is distinctively non-alpha male.
Yeah, and that's you know, and he was also one of the first to really defend the rights of women to be equal. So he was clearly not somebody that felt all men are superior to all women. And he was also believing that the white men aren't necessarily superior to anyone else either. So that was rather revolutionary.
Interesting stuff. Well, let me ask you this, Judah. If people want to get your book, how can they go about getting it? How long has it been out on the market?
It's just coming out now. Right now, at least in the next couple of weeks, they can get it from my website, and then it will be available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere, and local bookstores can also order it. Then go to MediaVisionsPress.com. They can go to JudahFried.com. They can go to GlobalSense.info.
Okay, and Fried is F-R-E-E-D. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right,
beautiful. Short for freedom, but the om is silent.
There you go. All right, well, listen, Judah, thank you for all your good work, and thank you for sharing some time with us.
Sorry we didn't get a chance to talk about the thing with the ruling.
Oh, with the NSA.
Yeah, that's what we talk about.
We'll definitely do that. We'll get you back again in the future, and we'll talk about that.
I'd love that, Mike.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. There you have it. Judah Fried, ladies and gentlemen. It's about 16 minutes after the hour, and it is the Mike Newcomb Show live on Air America Phoenix, 1480 KPHX.